This podcast is brought to you by Recontract, the leading software to automate your reconditioning process and streamline your entire used vehicle management process. Visit recontract.com to learn more. That's recontract.com.
Want to dive deeper into the topics you hear about on Daily Drive? We're offering listeners a special offer, 20% off a one-year Automotive News digital subscription. That gets you access to all of our news, information, and analysis made for automotive industry leaders like you. Go to autonews.com/dailydrivepromo to redeem. Welcome to Daily Drive for Thursday, March 21st, 2024. I'm Jamie Butters, Executive Editor of Automotive News in Detroit.
And I'm Kellen Walker in Las Vegas. Today on the show, a new report says automakers lose about $6,000 on each EV they sell. Genesis has a new sales operations leader. And Consumer Reports calls the Fisker Ocean inexcusable. Plus, our own Lawrence Iliff joins the show to talk about the latest EV registration numbers and what they tell us about the state of the market.
Everybody's now shifted from pickups and big crossovers and stuff. And it's like, well, maybe we have to find that lower end of the market for EVs. Maybe that's the sweet spot.
Let's run through all the news you need to know to keep up in the auto industry.
Automakers are losing thousands of dollars on every EV they sell. That's according to the Boston Consulting Group. BCG estimates that most automakers lose about $6,000 on each EV they sell for $50,000 after accounting for customer tax credits. Automakers differ in their approaches to EVs, but most have felt the punch of slowing sales growth. For example, Toyota said it will buy credits to meet emissions regulations if needed, choosing to base its EV plans on customer demand. Ford, which less than 2 years ago said it wanted to eventually challenge Tesla in EV sales, has cut production of its electric F-150 Lightning pickup and halted shipments for an undisclosed issue.
Troy Saito will be the next director of sales operations at Genesis Motor America. Saito will oversee all U.S. sales and retail operations and focus on strategy and retail operations. Genesis says he will work closely with all 239 Genesis retailers in the U.S. He'll report to Genesis Vice President of Sales Operations, Tedros Mengistu. Saito had worked at Hyundai for nearly two decades. He most recently served as the Director of Sales Analysis and Forecasting.
Volkswagen Group and Israeli tech supplier Mobileye are intensifying their work together on automated driving, at least for now. The two companies say they're working together to bring driver assist functionality that relies on Mobileye's technology into Audi, Bentley, Lamborghini, and Porsche vehicles. Separately, a VW spokesperson says the automaker will use Mobileye's self-driving system in commercial vehicles, including a fleet of robotaxis based on the Volkswagen ID. Buzz electric vehicle. Volkswagen did not comment on a specific time frame to reach series production with the systems. While the automaker is working to incorporate Mobileye's assisted and autonomous driving now, it reiterated its plans to develop its own systems in the future.
And if you listen to the show regularly, you know things haven't been looking good for Fisker. It recently halted production for 6 weeks and could file for bankruptcy soon. Having Consumer Reports buy one of its electric vehicles didn't help. After driving the Fisker Ocean for 2 weeks, the publication's testers praised the EV for truly innovative design, superior cargo space, and unique features such as a pull-out taco tray for eating on the go. But beyond those few bright spots, the review was as harsh as, well, apparently, the Ocean itself. It described the vehicle as, quote, both nauseating and jarring. Here's a bit more of the review. Quote, "It's inexcusable that safety and other features promised on the Ocean's window sticker come and go, with their absences only occasionally accompanied by warning messages. You can read more at autonews.com. And those are today's headlines. Jamie, according to the Boston Consulting Group, automakers are losing about $6,000 on each EV they sell. With the slowing down of EV market growth, do you see that gap getting bigger?
I sure hope not. No, I really think it won't. I think they'll keep getting closer and closer. You know, we've seen some pullback in the industry, mostly from GM and Ford. As BCG said, the Most industry projections were for, 70% EV sales growth last year. Instead, we saw about 50%, which is still pretty good, but not as hot as they thought it was. And it caused a little bit of panic and regroup. So here we are and kind of slowing things down a little. But what it seems they're doing is trying to take fewer of those losses now, and while they get better at making the cars, making the batteries, and building out their domestic supply chain.
Gotcha. Coming up, our own Lawrence Iliff joins us to talk about EV registrations for the month of January. That's next on Daily Drive.
Tesla is no longer a luxury brand. At least that's what we've decided here at Automotive News, but we want to hear from you.
What do you think of our decision to no longer classify Tesla as luxury in our coverage? Send us a voicemail, text, or email. You might hear your comment on this week's Weekend Drive episode. Here's how to get in touch.
Call us and leave a voicemail or text us at 313-444-2774. Again, that's 313-444-2774. You can also record your voice on your smartphone and send it to dailydrive@autonews.com. That's dailydrive, one word, at autonews.com.
And tune into our Weekend Drive episode this weekend, available Saturday morning.
Managing your used inventory is not exclusive to one person or one part of the dealership. What does the communication look like between sales and service? Are your vehicles getting passed from trade-in to recon with no hiccups? What is your average cycle time to get a used car frontline ready? There is a lot to keep track of all at once. Right now, you could be experiencing three major issues with your recon information causing process breakdowns. One, lack of visibility into recon pricing to inform the appraisal process. Two, no access to that appraisal information when working through recon approvals. Three, missed information and process bottlenecks trying to manage a vehicle across multiple systems and tools. Full insight throughout your entire process is crucial to making your used car department the most efficient and profitable it can be. Recontract combined with AutoVision creates an end-to-end tool for your used car department to address these breakdowns. With access to live appraisal information and reconditioning approvals, you get a single view of every vehicle with all the data you need right in one place. Make more educated decisions on your used car inventory faster with all your data easily accessible at any stage. Visit info.recontract.com/autovision for more information. That's info.recontract.com/AUTOVISION.
Welcome back to Daily Drive. I'm Jamie Butters with Kellen Walker. January registrations for new battery electric vehicles offered talking points for all sides of the raging debate over electrification of the U.S. auto industry. For EV optimists, U.S. registrations rose 15% compared with the same month last year. That's three times as fast as the market overall. For skeptics, that growth was sharply lower than the 52% rise for all of 2023, with segment leader Tesla joining the EV slowdown. But there was nuance in the data from S&P Global Mobility. To help unpack it, I spoke with Lawrence Iliff, who covers Tesla and EV startups for us at Automotive News. I reached him at his home office in Silicon Valley. Lonnie Iliff, welcome back to Daily Drive.
It's great to be here.
You've been writing about the U.S. EV market, digging in on the registration data that we recently received from S&P Global Mobility for the month of January. Admittedly, it's a small sales month, but it does kick things off for the year, and you found some interesting trends. First off, like the U.S. is known as a big truck market, but the electric pickups aren't exactly lighting up the scoreboard.
No, the Rivian R1T was the first one back in late 2021, and that was a big deal, right? They were first to the market, and everybody's like, yeah, that's the thing, man. That's the magic thing, the EV truck. Everybody wants a pickup. People love electric stuff. It'll be super cool. And they had a waiting list of tens of thousands, and the Ford Lightning was, in the process. The Cybertruck was delayed. So everybody was supposed to, swoop in on this market. And I think, the Rivian and the Lightning are kind of the most interesting ones because they've been in the market the longest. And the Rivian R1T was down sharply, 43% in January. And then it was also down last year, less, but 14%. So we have a kind of a big period of time here in which the Rivian R1T has been going down. They didn't really make that many of them because they were having problems with production. They got out of production hell, and now they have a demand problem. And similar with the Lightning, they were going to build a ton of them. They were going to have three shifts. They're cutting shifts. They're cutting plans. And the Lightning was up 4.5% in January, right? So, we're seeing some softness there too.
Yeah. Now, you give credit, not wrongly, really, to the R1T for being the first electric pickup. But there was, I think there was one Hummer that was sold before the R1T. but they sold so few, it's hard to really count the Hummer.
Yeah, and that's a $100,000 vehicle. I did kind of look at that and say, do I want to put it in the story here? And I went and looked at the price, and the cheapest one's $100,000. And I didn't think it was an apples-to-apples comparison.
Yeah, what's the R1T, though? It's not a $40,000 pickup.
No, it's, it's 70 now, and then they have a little bit of tax credit, and then they have leasing deals, like $650, $700. So it's not, it's not outrageously expensive if you take care of the incentives and the lease deals and everything, but it's an expensive pickup.
How did Rivian do overall?
Rivian did pretty well for January overall. It had 46% rise in registrations to 3818. And what's notable there is that the R1 crossover has really taken over for that brand, right? So people have kind of moved on from the R1T to the R1S. The crossover is doing great, but we're also seeing some crossover lease deals now, and we're seeing them, try to juice demand a little bit. So we'll have to see where that goes.
Yeah, leases, good way. If you don't get the full $7,500 credit on the sales, get people to take a lease and you can cut their price for them.
Yeah. Some of these leases get you in, obviously there's some money down and stuff like that, but you're in $750, $800, dollars a month. And, that's not outrageous. That's what you pay for, gasoline vehicles a lot of times.
Yeah. Yeah. So Rivian, challenges on the truck overall, pretty good. It was kind of an exception among the EV startups. It's been a tough go.
Yeah. If you look at Fisker, they are in deep financial problems. They kind of had a good January, right? Just in the sense that they had some cars to sell, right? Because they've been having trouble selling them. So, they had 640 registrations in January, which isn't terrible for the EV market, but now they've paused production. They're sitting on a bunch of inventory. They're getting bad reviews. There's reports that they're talking to bankruptcy advisors. So they're having a hard time. Lucid is down significantly.
And Lucid seems like it's been more of a demand problem than a production problem. And gosh, they don't seem like they've been around long enough to have a demand problem.
Yeah, that's the thing with Lucid is, their registrations fell 40% in January to just 357, right? And they just haven't been able to hit that buyer because they have a big, expensive, electric, four-door, executive sedan. And they've tried all kinds of things. They've cut prices, they have lease deals, they have promotions, but it just looks like in that case, maybe it's not the right product.
So let's turn to the big dog in the space, Tesla. Still dominant, still more than, half the EVs that get sold, certainly get registered, are Teslas. Kind of middling? How is that? That's so rare for Tesla. It's always either really great or really terrible, but it's kind of right in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, Tesla registrations were up 15% in January, and it's a big number in terms of volume. It was 48,757, right? So that's 55% of the EV market. So, that's good, but 15% in a month for Tesla is low, right? They did 34% last year. Their goal, at least kind of theoretically, is 50% per year growth to get to some astronomical number in, 5 or 10 years, right? That's the stated goal. So for Tesla to kind of come down to this 15% level, and we even saw that in December too, it was coming down, and they've cut prices, they have lease deals, And it just looks like they just don't have that much demand.
Well, they also aren't adding capacity. They're kind of, Elon Musk explained, I think on the last conference call, they're in this sort of pause between growth spurts while they work on the cheaper car that presumably will go into production later half of next year. So it could be a year, year and a half of not great growth, but they did hold their own in the market. They grew basically the same as the EV market overall.
Right. And that's, I mean, that's what analysts say is Tesla has a big owner base, you know, people, you know, getting new cars, trading up their Teslas. They have a very strong, you know, captive audience there. They have great retention with people buy a new car, great retention with people buy a new EV. The thing is, maybe they're not generating the excitement. The Cybertruck's exciting, but it's expensive. It's big. It's weird. You know, it may not be like a super mainstream product. And so they're waiting. Where's the mainstream product? And the mainstream product is, you know, under 35, 30. You know, everybody's now shifted from pickups and big crossovers and stuff. And it's like, well, maybe we have to find that lower end of the market for EVs. Maybe that's the sweet spot.
Mm-hmm. I, of course, wrote a column last week about how Automotive News has decided not to place Tesla in the luxury category anymore. It's really, as it's moving down market, it's become much more mainstream. But the German luxury brands that they had been competing with, are they getting their act together? They're putting up some good growth. I know they got sort of battered by having too much inventory, too many vehicles out on the dealer's lots, but it seems like they're getting them moved. They're starting to sell some of that down.
Yeah, BMW had an almost 50% increase in January. Mercedes-Benz was about the same. You know, Audi had a 33% increase. Now, the numbers aren't, you know, gigantic. You know, BMW was 3,500, right? So the numbers aren't gigantic, but you see a steady progression. They're gaining traction in the market. You know, they're not trying to move too fast. And so rather than maybe some of these other brands where we see, you know, decreases over year on year as they tried to grow really fast, with these guys, it's kind of more slow and steady. And you've kind of seen that, you know, over the course of last year, over the course of in January. And it's not like it's big numbers, but it is steady growth and it is, you know, strong growth. And we don't see them kind of petering out like we do some of the other brands.
So the other big gainer doesn't really fit any of the other patterns, but they have some good cars and they keep pushing on the EV button. And that is Hyundai Group.
Yeah. And, you know, when you talk to analysts and people who drive a lot of EVs and stuff, Hyundai is kind of the second name that comes to mind after Tesla, if we're talking about kind of more mainstream vehicles, right? And it's just, they make really good EVs. It's a very good experience. They're interesting looking. They have lease deals. And even though they don't have the $7,500, right, because they're not made in the U.S., you know, they do have strong promotions. They are trying to sell EVs. They're not talking themselves out of selling EVs, right? They're still talking strong. And they will have U.S. production maybe as early as this year, definitely, you know, in years to come. And that's why people say that they're the ones to look for. If you add up Hyundai and Kia and Genesis, as an automaker, they're number two after Tesla. They have interesting products. They have a lot of products coming. They have U.S. production coming. So it's something to watch.
Well, and especially, like you said, those three brands, and Hyundai and Kia operate really separately. They're kind of weird, bitter rivals, like, I don't know, stepbrothers or something that don't like each other. But they share a lot, you know, of technology, the engineering. Even the factory in the U.S. is going to make probably both Hyundai's and Kia's and Genesis, make all three brands. So that gives them, you know, scale bigger than any of those brands would have on their own.
Yeah. And they have big global ambitions too, right? They want to, you know, challenge Toyota, maybe not in terms of like total volume, but in terms of reputation and quality. When you think about a vehicle, they say they're all in on EVs in different markets. And, you know, it's slow going, it's up and down. China's complicated. Korea, even right now, is complicated with some of the EVs, and there's incentives in Europe. So it's complicated. But what I hear out of them is, you know, we want to do this. We're interested in doing this. And I think you're right. Hyundai and Kia coming together to make cars in the same factory and stuff, it kind of breaks down, you know, they wanted to be thought of as two brands. They are two brands, but they are kind of coming together because the EV race is going to be difficult.
Yeah, like Honda and Nissan having to work together on their EVs. Yeah,
we'll see about that.
All right. Lonnie Iliff covers Tesla and the best funded startups of the EV space for us from Silicon Valley. Lonnie, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
That's Daily Drive for today. I'm Jamie Butters.
And I'm Kellen Walker. Thanks to Automotive News coordinating producer Jake Neer, as well as our own Hannah Lutz, George Wykamp, Pete Bigelow, and Nick Bunkley for their reporting for today's podcast. You can get the latest news on EV registrations, automaker personnel moves, and everything happening in the auto industry at autonews.com.
Come back tomorrow for a look at the increased use of digital F&I tools with Paul McCarthy, Vice President of Sales at Protective Asset Protection.
79% of our dealers reported an increase in F&I sales year over year. Of that 79%, 67% of those attributed that all or in part to having a good online presence.
We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think of the show and the topics we covered today. Send us an email at dailydrive@autonews.com or leave us a voicemail at 313-444-2774. And if you enjoy the podcast, remember to like, leave a review, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.